McGregor.
Yes.
This is Bob Woodward of the Washington Post. Hello.
Yes.
This is Bob Woodward of the Washington Post.
To illustrate how I actually stumbled into this, the year was 1971, and I made a very, very low-budget film for Warner Brothers called The Candidate. It's made for a little over $1.5 million, and it was a labor of love. We shot it in 41 days. When the film was over, and we went to promote it, we were running against the perception that politics wasn't interesting in film and that people didn't have a great box office history, so we were trying to find a way to promote the film. Came up with an idea, a guy named Dick Tuck, who was a political strategist. His idea was to make the point the film was making, why don't I take the presidential train that candidates did every 4 years from Jacksonville, Florida, down to Miami. And if I did that, and they put entertainment and political press on the train, that would be the point. They would see if I could outdraw the people that had come in as candidates. In between the stops, the entertainment and the political press was on board, and the political guys were gossiping about the Watergate break-in, which had occurred just a couple weeks before at the Democratic headquarters. And, of course, when that story broke, it was a flare-up and a flare-out. It was about something connected with Cubans and something connected to Cuba, and it came and went. And there was a vibe in their attitude that told me they knew something that not only I didn't know, but maybe the country didn't know, that there was more to it than had been revealed. And so I pushed them, and I asked them, and they said, well, there's a little more to it than that. And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, I don't think it's exactly that. I think it goes in a little different direction, but it's not ever going to come out. And I said, what do you mean it's not going to come out? You mean it goes in a direction towards the administration? They said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you're just going to sit here? They said, boy, do you not know how it works. There are three good reasons. One, everyone does it. Both sides do it. No news there. Secondly, McGovern's going to self-destruct. He's not going to make it. And Nixon is going to come in on a landslide. He will consider himself having a mandate. And nobody wants to be on the wrong side of this guy when he comes in because he's vindictive, he's mean, and he'll do anything to gain and keep power. And the third reason is that you don't know how journalism works. You can't just run with a story like that unless you have the support of the editor and the publisher and a lot of money to go run a story like that down. Do you have any idea what it would take? It's just not going to happen. So I was so depressed, and I went back home that year, and I watched the newspapers. I just hawked the newspapers to find out if that cynicism was going to be true. And it seemed to be true for a while until I started to notice stories in late July and early August that always had a dual byline about teeny little articles about committee to reelect slush fund, and they kept growing and growing and growing, but it always seemed to have the same two names. I didn't remember the names. I just remembered it was a dual byline. And it grew and grew and grew until by the end of August, the stories were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it looked like these guys on the train were going to be wrong, and I was thrilled. When it became big, and it was, I guess, safe for other newspapers to jump in, the New York Times came in and hit the Segretti dirty trick stuff. The thing was then in headline form, and then it all turned around this Hugh Sloan testimony, and it looked like they were wrong. And at that time, it became a big headline that they were wrong. And I thought, nuts. I was kind of hoping they were going to be right. And then there was a side story about who these two guys were that got it wrong. And when I saw the profile of Woodward and Bernstein and the contrast between them, that one was a WASP, the other was a Jew, one was a Republican, the other was a radical, one was considered a good writer, the other not so good. They didn't much care for each other, but they had to work together. That got me, and I thought, that's interesting. So I began to think about a small little black and white movie with two unknowns that I would produce that just illustrated what these guys were doing at a time when the country wasn't paying attention. So I tried to contact them. I was starting to film The Way We Were in upstate New York, and I called two or three times, never got a call back. So then I moved on, and I went about my business, but I couldn't let it go, and I kept thinking, God, I could just talk to those guys, just tell them about my idea. So finally I got Woodward in late November. By this time, they were back on the story, and they were continuing to work on it because it looked like they may or they may not be right. They did discover that there was a glitch in the testimony, but they were still in trouble. And when I got Woodward, he kind of blew me off. He wasn't that inviting. And I said, look, I'd like to talk to you. Can I get together with you? He said, well, not right now. We're busy. Things are kind of tough right now, so maybe some other time. So I got blown off, and I took it and went about my business and went on to another film after that. And I was filming in Chicago, making The Sting. And in late February, early March, suddenly this letter comes from McCord, one of the burglars, to Judge Sirica, admitting that it was true that they did work for the committee to reelect. And suddenly everything blew sky high. And when I saw that and I realized that the whole thing had in fact been true, that the kind of yellow brick road they were paving was leading to something major, that it was maybe true, I got a hold of Woodward and I said, look, just give me half an hour. I got to get this off my chest. So he said, well, come to Washington and meet me in private. And I did. And when I told him what I had in mind, he said, look, let's not do it now. Things are too tight here. Why don't you go on back and we'll meet when you're done with your film, which was later on that month in March. So when they came up to meet me in New York, they told me what was going on, and I was shocked. And I said, look, you guys, I don't know where this is going, but I'm kind of only interested in what you guys did that nobody else was doing, what was going on underneath the radar, because that's usually the kind of story that interests me. I'm less interested in what is known than what is underneath what is known that is not known. And so I said, I'm interested in you guys. And they said, well, we're planning on writing a book and kind of thinking about doing it from the standpoint of the burglars, using that as the road in. I said, well, you guys do what you need to do, but my interest is in you and your relationship. That's what interests me. One thing led to another, and they decided, or so they said, that maybe was a better way to go, or maybe it was Alice Mayhew, their editor. I don't know the exact truth. They just told me that they decide that may be a better way to go, but I would have to wait for the book. They said they'd try to arrange for me to have the movie rights, but that the book would have to go to option to studio to pay a high price.